Jesus.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing.
Yes, yes.
Whew. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe.
Yes, you're worthy, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Worthy of all the praise we could ever sing.
Yes, yes. Jesus.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Yes, we do. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, we live.
Hallelujah.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Jesus. Lord, we worship you. We worship you, Jesus.
Jesus, the name above
every yes.
Other name.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus, the only one that could ever say.
Yes, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank
Jesus,
you, Jesus,
the only one who could ever save. Worthy
yes,
of every
yes,
breath
you
we
are,
could ever
Jesus.
Breathe, we live for
Jesus,
you.
Jesus, Jesus.
Oh, we live for
you. Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside.
this week, I failed in that big time.
Bless
in my
Jesus.
Own household, and I just want to publicly apologize to my husband and to my family for not showing that love like I should have this week.
Jesus.
It's kind of crazy to think that people mess up, but it's not really crazy when we think about our human state and, you know, the fact that the flesh is always pulling at us.
Yes.
But I just felt that need to get that out and say that to my family here publicly in front of everybody.
Thank you, touch your Jesus.
And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. And I will put my trust in you alone. And I will not be shaken.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I will put
yes,
my
Jesus,
trust
we trust you,
in
God.
You alone.
Hallelujah.
And I will hallelujah. Not be shaken.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, yes, yes.
This to me would be like the verse that Arliss talked about the symbols.
Yeah.
So if I can't show that love the way I'm supposed to at home, it doesn't matter how much I come in here and show the love to the people of God. It just sounds like some kid jumping up on the platform that's not supposed to be on the drums, just walking up and banging on them, and that's what it sounds like to God. So
yeah.
That's why I had to get it off my chest and say what I said.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And I know that's different. And
bless the Lord.
Amen.
And I will follow him.
help us, Jesus.
Stop till the whole world knows the power in your blood to save every soul.
We're
not ashamed of the gospel, Jesus. You're worthy.
Yes, you're worthy, Jesus.
Of every tribe and tongue, it's all for your glory. Sing wild.
Yes.
Break every chain. Break every chain.
Jesus. Thank you. Thank you.
All sufficient sacrifice, so freely given, such a price, bought our redemption, heaven's gates swing wide.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
In the
yes, hallelujah.
Jesus.
Shortly, we're going to have you come take up the offering. We've got an offering plate. Are we going to use that hat? We're going to use that hat. But, boy, isn't it beautiful that the Lord has restored Beth's voice?
Yes.
Ain't no rock going to cry in her place,
mm-mm,
I'll tell you
thank
that.
Thank you, Jesus.
And there is power in the name of Jesus. Mm. There's power in the precious blood that he shed for us.
Yes.
And he walked up out of that borrowed tomb. He borrowed that joker. He said, I ain't gonna be around here very long. I'm stepping out of here. But thank you, Lord. But yeah, to hear your voice as beautiful as it has been here lately and strong after you've been going through so much and everything, it put me in mind of that song. Ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. Thank you, Lord. It's good to see you two, too. Good to see you all. Wonderful. How you doing? Doing good? All right. Well, son, if you'll go ahead and ask the Lord to bless the offering.
Lord Jesus, we just come to you today, Lord God, thanking you for another day.
Jesus.
Lord Jesus, in our free country to worship you.
Yes, thank you, God.
Lord Jesus, we just pray for everybody on the prayer list, Lord God.
Thank you,
Lord Jesus, you know the needs. We don't, Lord God.
Yes.
You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Lord God. And
yes.
You know everything before we do it, Lord Jesus. And now, Lord Jesus, I ask that you take this offering and bless it.
Yes.
Take it to the good of your kingdom. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Pass the old hat. You have another for us, Ben? No. Well, then I guess we'll get right into this.
Oh, come on! You got
lesson. I guess we'll call it, or get in attendance today, and we're going to pray for those that didn't make it. You going first, dear, or would you like me?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, you all say a silent prayer for me that the
bless him, Lord.
That the Lord will help me out with this because I'm not what you call a natural born speaker or anything like that.
Oh my, he had to move the podium.
Well, I'll try to keep this condensed as best I can, but
you can do it.
But the body. I'm just gonna have to. I didn't think I was going to be doing this, but I guess I will. But see, of course, the head, the Godhead is above everything, so we got Jesus, and we're supposed to be talking about the body today, so we got the body. We got the body, which is the church. Kingdom. Kingdom. Yeah. And of course all that is the bride of Christ. Bride of Christ. So, thank you, brother. I wish I had thought about that. But But we are the body, and like we was talking right before we started that in our adventures on the Rapier Farm, that was just one example of the body working together. Yes. You see, and Arliss and Kitty are ministering and baptizing up in Illinois. Well, that's another part of the body.
Yes,
going somewhere else. You see, so I tell you what we'll do here. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And here in a little bit, I'm going to borrow a verse that Beth shared with us when she taught her lesson to us here recently. It just happened to the way First that Corinthians God was showing this to me as I was studying, it fell right in line. But we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 12. And in verse 12 it says, "For as the body is one," so we've got the body is one. Body. You'll see a pattern here in just a second. Body is one. And there'll be a lot of scribbling. If I have to, I'll just go grab the other board. Anyway, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body," that one body, "being many, are one body, so also is Christ. If Christ is in this body, then we're all with him." We're all.
Amen.
"For by one spirit, I don't write real well, but one spirit.
It's all right, brother.
Are we all baptized into one body? Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, which is who we are, whether we be bond or free," praise God, we are free.
Amen.
In that free.
Amen.
Country, "and have been all made to drink into one spirit."
Yes.
One spirit, there's that one spirit again. Now, before I get carried away, we're gonna go back over here to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 41, and I'm going to read through this because it there's some more of this pattern that we're seeing here that's getting ready to start here.
2:41, you said?
Yes, Acts 2 and verse 41. Okay. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." Somebody got baptized today, praise God.
Amen.
"And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Well, added this morning in around Rockford, Illinois area, I believe it was added a soul today.
Yes,
praise God.
Thank
there
you,
was
Jesus.
One added today. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles."
Yes.
"And all that believed were together and had all things in common."
Yes.
And see, there we got all things in common. Let me get my pen. All things in common. All things. In common.
You're doing great.
Spoiler alert, there's a lot of oneness going on here, you see. Okay. "And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord." Here we go, some more of that. One accord. One accord. One accord. "In the temple and breaking bread," and the Lord said that was his body,
from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart.
Singleness. Singleness of heart. I don't write horse spell very well, but that's okay. We'll get through it.
Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church, the body, daily, such as should be saved. Now, over in John 15, Jesus is talking here, and Beth shared this recently, chapter 15 and verse 5. He said, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. The body and the branches, with the body and many members. That's exactly what he's speaking of here. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing.
Amen.
So, he has brought us together since the beginning of Jesus's ministry, when he first started ministering, one of the first things he said was to repent, for the kingdom is at hand.
Oh.
You see, the kingdom is at hand. So he started out letting us know that he was putting a body together. There was a body being put together here. You see, and we have one body, one spirit, one accord, singleness of heart, all things
yes.
in common.
Yes.
You see, so all of that was coming together to form the body that we have here. Now, I'm going to go back into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll finish reading these verses here. Now, I may have gotten lost. Here we go.
Bless him, Lord.
Okay, we'll be in verse number 15. I believe. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,
mm-hmm.
is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. So just keep in mind sometimes, if whether it be here or in another church somewhere, if it's a Jesus-named church, whatever it is that you're doing at the time, well, don't be down about wherever your position is there, because you're a member of the body, and the body can't go on without you. Now, mind you, as far as watchmen are concerned and looking out for our brethren and stuff like that, if a body member were to get injured or fall, well, the rest of them are going to come to help them. You see, and lift them up. And lift them back up, you see. And if they were all one member, where were the body? If you didn't have members, you can't have a body. You just got a lump there, you see. It's just there on its own. But now are they many members, yet but one body.
Amen.
And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, or as I have here noted, on the contrary, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness.
Wow.
For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body, assembled the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. Really, giving more honor to the part that lacked. You see, the whole we're supposed to edify and exhort one another. Exhortation. That's the lifting up and encouraging. Encouraging one another. There should be no schism or divisions, what that means. Right. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. I have a little note here. There shouldn't be any such thing as denominations in the true body of Christ.
That's it.
So there shouldn't be any divisions.
Yeah.
It says it right here plain in the body. This verse came to my mind as Beth was talking about the moment she had this week. I had a similar moment, but whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it.
Yes.
Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. You know, so when I'm down, when y'all gonna be down, or if you're down, I'm a down. If we're all joyous and just ecstatic, well, by golly, the whole body's just gonna be tickled. We're gonna be pleased because we're in singleness of heart, one accord, one spirit.
Yeah.
Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. See, we all have our own characters and little things we do. You know, you're a guy, you're a girl. You know, we all have certain abilities. You know, that others may not have. You know, we may share some of the same ones, but we're individuals. God made us that way on purpose. We're individual souls. And God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing. Now, that is another story altogether, but you notice how there is a distinction between miracles and gifts of healing.
Mm-hmm.
A healing ain't a miracle to Jesus.
Amen.
There's a verse in the Bible that says that he didn't perform very many miracles there except he healed a few.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. You see, there are so many different things that every one of us is able to do.
Yes.
You know? And don't think anything less of yourself or think anything less of somebody else if their station is doing something different than what you're doing.
Right.
You know, like Arliss has said standing here many times, he said he is the under shepherd. God's in control.
Yes, that's right.
But we're the bride of Christ. And we're the body. We are the body. But Paul was talking about all the different gifts that each one of us have. That some of us have a gift of just a loving spirit, and some of us, you know, able to work on something or fix something, or you know, and some of us have a better understanding of some things than others do, and that's okay. And Paul says, he finishes up by saying in verse 31 there, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way.
Jesus.
More excellent way.
Jesus.
And that starts with that love Beth was talking about there. Show that there's the excellent way right there. Is to love one another. The Bible says that there no greater love hath a man than he laid down his life for his friends.
Yes.
And glory to God. The there's a lot of the oneness, singleness, whatever you want to call it. That's what we have, and I just want you to know that it's an honor to have all of y'all as my
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, and,
Amen.
And glory be to God for this. And I tell you what, without any further ado, we will let let Stace go ahead and bring her. Sharing on this subject, because I'm sure she's a little more studious, I guess you could say, than I am on things. She picks up on.
I need more notes.
You need more notes. Well, I've got a dry erase.
I don't need a dry erase.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and scratch this out for a bit. Do you need any of this? You need some notes.
Well, I'm going to start off by telling you, Jimmy and I were just talking the other day, and it's funny. I said, are you going to tell me what your message about? He said, no. We are not disposed to saying, well, this is what I'm going to talk about, and this is the scripture I'm going to use, which is funny because you'll see. It's funny how when God is in control of something, and I wondered how it was going to work with Jimmy getting up and giving one message on the body and me giving another message on the body. And when I started thinking about what I was going to talk about or what I might want to bring out, it was, I guess, I don't know what you'd call it, a sweetheart message. You know, the body is knit together and we're all, you know, just a cutesy kind of thing. And about 2 days into praying about all these scriptures that I was looking up and reading, and oh, that's so awesome, I just love it, the Lord put one word in my spirit, and I about fell down. And I thought, there's no way that fits in with a message on the body. And I tried to ignore it. I pretended like I didn't hear it. Maybe it was a dream. Maybe I was just thinking about it. It was subconscious. Or maybe it was just for me. But that word was atrophy. And it doesn't sound like that it's even supposed to be in a message about the body. We know that a body can atrophy, but the more I tried to get away from it, the more it stood out. And everything that I could think about was just this atrophy. And so then I began to pray, well, Lord, what do you want to show me that I need to talk about with this atrophy word? And so then once I started studying it, it felt like it might be just for me. Because for a lot of years, I've been a very to-myself kind of person. And turns out they call that being an introvert. There's little quizzes you can take to see what kind of introvert you are. And there's some kind of mystery shrouded in what kind of person that you'll be because of your introversion. But I think all of those words and all of those things are crafted by the enemy to mask the harshness of atrophy in the spiritual body. And it's harsh and it's lonely, and I think it needs to be addressed. The problem with labeling ourselves anything, my this, my that, I'm a, Proverbs 18:21 says death and life are in the power of the tongue. So every time you say I'm an introvert, words mean things. Jimmy has said that ever since our kids have been little, that words mean things. And there really is death and life in the power of the tongue, especially when we talk about ourselves. And after that verse that talks about death and life in the power of the tongue, the next three verses speak about relationship. And I thought that was interesting. But the truth is, introversion does not lead itself to any form of relationship. It's actually a form of drawing back away from people, opportunities, circumstances, and eventually from God. My scripture, if you all want to turn there, it's in Hebrews 10. It's verses 38 and 39. And this was the scripture that God gave me when I said, I can't use that for the body. There's no way that's going to fit. And then he showed me how it fits. So, It was really interesting what he showed me about it, but verse starts out in verse 38. It says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Now, in verse 38, the word that is translated into draw back means to be timid, to shrink from something, to hesitate to confess what one believes, to be unwilling to speak because of fear, or to conceal one's true motives, feelings, or beliefs. I couldn't believe that, but that is the actual definition of the word that is translated into draw back in verse 38. But then in verse 39, it's a whole different word. The word translated as draw back in verse 39 means to be so timid that you stealthily retreat, or cowardice, and finally apostasy. So the first drawing back, or shrinking from fear and hesitating to confess what we believe, that leads to the second drawing back, which is cowardly retreating into an abandonment of faith. It seems like they're completely so far apart. I would never backslide just because I can't, you know, I'm not one to really say what I feel, or, you know, that's just the way I am, but it can. And like Beth, you were talking about admitting things. This whole message is about me admitting that I have spent years of my life saying that is just how I am. And over the past, I would say, almost a year, it's been a constant battle in my head. And things are just, you know, things can get cloudy when you don't have, like Jimmy was talking about, that body connection, that when you draw back away from it, or as the atrophy sets in, it starts to really make things different. So Paul called it drawing back to perdition, which means you're headed for ruin, waste, and pure destruction. But what is apostasy, which is the word that the first drawback, or the last drawback in verse 39, that is ruin, waste, and pure destruction? Well, it just so happens the definition of atrophy is a gradual decline in effectiveness due to underuse or neglect. God help us. The body part that atrophies shrivels up. It looks like just a skeleton with skin stretched over it. Well, what does the spiritual atrophy look like? We know, we're not even trained to recognize that in our own body, like Jimmy was talking about. And more than that, when one member of our body, in a physical sense, atrophies, the rest of the body has to pick up for it.
Yes.
They have to add extra strength, or I know if you talk to somebody who's deaf, they'll say they see more. They pay attention to more things that they see, or somebody with blindness says they can hear things that most people wouldn't be able to hear. So it happens the same way in spiritual atrophy. And again, it's not something we recognize within a body, a spiritual church body, a church family, that one member would be atrophying and all the rest are kind of having to pick up and bear that weight. Where, like Jimmy said, where one suffers, we all suffer. But if the one suffering doesn't say anything about the suffering, then nobody else can suffer with them. So then it starts to really compound.
Yeah.
And it might be, I mean, we have good excuses. We're not going to bring that up in church. It could be loss. It could be trauma. It could be grief. It could be something that's nobody's business. And I'm not saying we all have to get up and share every bit of dirty laundry. That's not what I'm talking about. We can just be as simple. It can just be as simple, I really need some prayer today, which is something I would never, you know, I'm okay, I got this. Turns out trying to be strong and handle your business shrinks you up and to where you look like a bone with skin stretched over it. So I made reference to Jimmy's scripture in 1 Corinthians 12, and I was going to say you don't have to turn there, but we are all members of one body. And the body isn't one member, but many members. And we're all baptized into that body, no matter who we are. Jew, Gentile, bond, free, introvert, extrovert, hurt, happy, put any name you want to on it. We're all in that same body. And like Jimmy said, the foot can't say it's not a part of the body because it's not a hand. And the ear can't say it's not a part of the body because it's not an eye.
Right.
Well, the worship leader can't say that they're not a part of the body because they're not the pastor.
Right.
And a single mom sitting on the back can't say she's not a part of the body because she's not a Sunday school teacher.
Right.
We're all, just like Jimmy said, we have our jobs, we have our position. And it might just be, you know, Proverbs 31 and Titus 2 speaks to women about our position as bringing up younger women. Even if that's the only thing we do, that is a massive undertaking in the eyes of God and in the body of Christ.
Yes.
Because who else is going to do it? I don't want the world teaching my girl. And Paul said there would be no schism in the body. Why? Because we should have the same care for each other as we do for ourselves. And if we do, it will change things.
Yes.
And my favorite example of that is if you smash your right thumb, what is the first thing that happens? The whole left hand grabs it. And it's body recognizing pain in the body. It's protection for a weaker part. And a comfort for the pain. In Ephesians 4, Paul said that we don't need to be children anymore, tossed around and toying with every doctrine that comes along. He said there would be people waiting to deceive us with things like that. And that's the schism he spoke of in 1 Corinthians 12. He said instead we need to grow up into he who is the head of all things, even Christ Jesus. Bodies grow. That's what they're meant to do. But atrophy withers and depletes and shrivels the life out of something. Paul goes on to say that if the body is fit together right, each limb works like it was created to, that the whole body edifies itself in love. And the effectual working together is a benefit of a whole body with everybody in it, functioning the way they should. So one person's calling might be big, another person's might be little. But as a whole, there is no big or little because we're one body. And Jesus is the head. That means we don't get to do the thinking. We just get to move toward his kingdom purpose. But more than that, if we're all functioning in the body like we're supposed to, and we help one another, if I'm having a hard way of something, somebody else might help, or vice versa. It's like Jimmy said. It's like when you get out of the car after you get your groceries and you stick your keys in your teeth so your hands are free to pick up the grocery bags. I promise you, the teeth were not meant to hold those keys. But when you get to the door and you set the groceries down and the key goes back, everything goes back to normal. So there was an uptake of need. The teeth held the keys. The hands held the groceries. The whole body got the groceries into the house. So that is just one of those things that, again, we don't see it sometimes because we're not really taught to see it. So, just to kind of close it up, we can keep drawing back like a turtle into its shell, and it feels like a lifesaver sometimes. Ask me how I know. But if we keep thinking about what Paul said about drawing back, that it's timidity, and then we really study that out and find out it's a form of introversion. And it comes with a fear of sharing the word and our belief, and we slowly just begin to shrink away. And if we're not sharing it, well, then we don't have any reason to study it. And before you know it, atrophy takes over instead of the body part that we're supposed to be. So, and it's not something I don't think that the Lord brings to us so that we can beat ourselves up and say, well, I fell right into that hole, oh my goodness. Because I think if Jesus were to reveal everything to us all at once that we needed to know, it would be crushing. So it's a gradual growing back coming back from that place of atrophy, and we can lean on one another to do that. So I'm just thankful that the Lord showed me that, and hopefully if somebody else is in that place where they just think, that's just the way I am, well then we can get over that, because we are part of a body that doesn't have to handle things that way. So praise the Lord.